little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
We're going to do something very experimental now, and this is something that might not translate very well to the medium of an audio recording, but hey, we're going to give it a go all the same. Now, hopefully all of you have had a chance to listen to this audio consultation. What I'd like you to try to do now is, if you turn your papers over, so you've got a little puzzle in front of you. So before we go ahead with this, just another scaling question for you, if that's okay. How confident are you that you understand the 10-point map of the consultation? Now, we're using a version of the map of the consultation to guide us in the way that we organise our consultations now. How confident are you that you understand how this model works and can organise your consultations according to that? So if I can just have a quick run around the table to get a feel for how confident people are that they understand what this map is all about.
Because I'm practicing for the CSA, I mean, I have to try to use this model quite often.
Yeah.
But I do struggle at times. I would say 5, actually, because I do struggle at some cases to get all the points in and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what all those 10 points are?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
I have it in my mind a few, what I should do and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's just when you're doing the case, you know, it's difficult to think about this point when not act natural, you know. That's the difficulty.
It's difficult to make it automatic, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we're going to try to do today is try and make it a little bit more automatic.
Mm.
So perhaps, Ziad, would you be quite happy to read out the 10-point map that we have in front of us? And we've colour-coded this as well. So if you read out the colours that go with them for the moment, for the purposes of what we're going to do now, it's quite helpful to have a colour associated with each of these titles.
So the first point is patient contribution, and we give it blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second point is ICE, so ideas, concerns, and expectations, with light green. And then PSO, which is psychosocial and occupational health history, we give it pink. The fourth one is red flags, with the color code red. The fifth one, focused history, with yellow. Sixth one, focused examination, with gray. And so the seventh is identify the problem, with purple. And the eighth one is check understanding, with orange. And the ninth one is develops management plan and shares the management plan, with brown. The final one, tenth one, is safety net and follow up, with dark green.
Thank you very much, Sia. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just going through everyone else now, just to give a feel for both of us as to your confidence level that you understand the way that map works. Charlotte, perhaps you could give us a feel for what you think.
Yeah. So I think we did a lot of this at med school, so it does feel like it's drilled in quite a bit. Looking down the list for me, and when I think back to my consults, I think I actually have a different order. So I don't know whether that is, whether it's this order is in particular needs to be done in this way. But I feel that I probably don't do it quite in the way that you've numbered it 1 to 10.
Thanks for highlighting that, because that's a really important point, because this is a flexible map.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be done in sequence.
Mm.
And what this exercise is all about is allowing you to see that when you have a real life consultation, you're not doing it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but you're often dotting in and out.
Mm.
You're trying to make a natural conversation so that it's comfortable for you and feels natural to the patient.
Yeah.
But in your mind, you're organized by a map.
Yeah.
You've got a plan I don't mind if you change those numbers around, and I really don't want you to be rigid about going from 2 to 3 to 4. That's really important that you don't. It feels really clunky if you insist that it's got to be done in that order. So that's really helpful to get that thought from you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, okay. Actually, you know, from my consultations, I feel that I struggle basically with 8 and 9 specifically, you know, about checking understanding. Sometimes I don't know how to kind of say that in a way that wouldn't make the patient feel, you know, as daft or, you know, what do you mean by it? Or, you know, in a way, I don't know, I sometimes have to phrase it. And actually 9 and 10, sometimes it's the time constraint as well, putting all the 10 or even reaching 10 to those words. So.
So that consultation that you've just listened to, I think was 11 minutes maybe?
Yes,
right. So don't worry too much if you don't always achieve it, but you need to be structured, you need to be organised, you need to look as if you've got momentum.
Yes.
So it's okay to take a bit longer when you've got maybe a complex problem, and sometimes you'll be broadsided, but we're going to give you some tips on how to avoid that sort of complication and keep potentially to time. So some tips really to help you with that. But when it comes to how do you ensure that your management plan is truly shared, well, we touched upon that in the last couple of lessons that we've done, so I'll signpost you to listen to those, and I'll send you those broadcasts.
Yes.
But for the time being, we'll touch on those, because those are some of the learning needs that other people have wanted to focus on, so we might have a chance to cover some of those issues about how do you ensure that your ideas, that your concerns and expectations are met with that management plan. Thank you.
I think I'm a little bit like myself. Like I struggle a little bit in making like shared decision or shared management plan, because I'm so used to like, yes, you have this problem, this is the treatment, and yes, there's some options sometimes, but I struggle with make it as a shared management plan sometimes. And what I found helpful also when I looked at this list, even before, is maybe to compartmentalize like the numbers. So, for example, like the history part, which I think like till number 5, from 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, maybe you'll ask guys in the beginning or we ask it in the end, but still that's in history. It's much nicer like asking about it before doing the examination, for example, or before the end. And I think maybe when trying to get like good at it, if, for example, if you focus at the history part, so the first 5 parts, and then just if you nail it, then you can focus on the other parts.
We all miss things, and quite often I've taken an opportunity while I'm doing an examination, for example, just maybe to touch on a couple of points of history, or maybe I've suddenly had a eureka moment and realised that I was going down the wrong track, and then you have to try and recover from that and then go back a stage. That's absolutely okay. Thank you.
I think. Since doing the CSA, I still find myself going back to ICE and PSO quite a lot, and I actually find it really helpful because it gives you a whole wealth of information about what the patient's agenda is and what they're wanting, which isn't always apparent initially if you don't take the time to ask it. I think certainly for the purposes of the exam, I was practicing it in a slight variation of this, the same sort of things, but it was, for me, it was kind of the ICE, the PSO, the red flags, and then there was sort of a point before I went to examine where I'd think, have I gone through ICE, PSO, red flags, make sure, because you need to show that you're maintaining a structure for the exam.
Mm-hmm.
And then following the exam, it was more around, because for myself, I tend to spend a lot of time on focus history, which is one of my possibly weaknesses, because I'm always worried about that, have I been thorough about it, have I missed something. So because of that, the second half then, because a bit more squashed, so what I try to do then is, in the second half, after explaining what I thought was going on, is to try and put out all the issues on the table and then try and ask the patient, sort of, so these are main issues, maybe get the safety netting in really early on so that you don't run out of time, and then asking them which of these areas do you want to go into, and trying to sort of ask what they already know rather than just bombarding them with explanations that they might not necessarily need.
Thank you. Some really good tips there for people preparing for the exam, but also what I heard there was also you're still using this structure.
Yes.
Because it works.
Yes, it does.
And it really allows you to... aside from figuring out what's going on with the patient and being good for the patient, that they will actually give you good feedback because you dealt with their issues or at least listened to the problems. Mm-hmm. And in an effective way. So it's a system that works.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's difficult to shake off, isn't it?
It is.
So it's a good habit they've got you into.
Definitely, yeah. And I found the big overlap in this, and when I attended one of these MPS Mastering Risk and Shared Decision-Making seminars, they covered the same kinds of things in a slightly different way because it wasn't just aimed at GP, it was aimed at all different specialties.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that actually the patients who felt that they were listened to and their ICE basically was elicited, they were the type of people who would be less likely to then complain and be dissatisfied later on.
Yeah.
So it's actually very effective
in
the long term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's why we don't get many complaints here, because we come from an ethos of actually going through that structure and taking an interest in what people say. But it makes an enormous difference to the chances of you having a complaint, but also when you get your 360 every 5 years for your revalidation, it's nice to know that there's a good chance that you'll get pretty good feedback.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, like what you said, because structure helps a lot, because especially we have 10 minutes consultation and you can't complete without a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you miss things, especially in the time pressure. And ICE and PSO really helps to know what the case is about, and then once you know all the ICE and the PSO, then you can control your consultation.
Yeah.
And if you don't have time to finish the consultation, you can always bring them back.
Yeah.
Say we have to discuss all these things, we don't have time, so I'm going to tell you about discuss this, and then I'll discuss the rest of them in the next consultation.
Yeah, so agenda setting is so important with that time management issue, isn't it? And unless you set the agenda right at the beginning of the consultation,
yes,
then something else comes up. It's so difficult to say no to it, isn't it? So it makes an enormous difference to your time management and you being sane at the end of the day as well, doesn't it? So I didn't catch a number for you, Iram.
A number for?
Of confidence of using them, ma'am.
I'd say I'm pretty confident. Maybe a 9.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just follow the kind of like structure.
Yeah.
So 9, I would say.
It's been drilled. You trained here, so you've been drilled.
Anything less would be a disappointment.
So even during the exam, like out of 13 cases, if you follow structure, you can easily sail through for at least 10, and best of the 3, you can just manage it.
Okay. From the CSA point of view, do you guys manage to kind of follow the whole? I know it's Marina. I mean, in your exams, I know about Marina and Iram, but did you all have to kind of, did you manage to kind of go through the 10?
Because in the exam, you'll have a kind of slate sort of thing, like electronic one. You can just put the structure there and then,
because some people struggle to kind of follow the structure up until the end. They always run after time.
Yeah, that's certainly the commonest thing in the exam, is running out of time and not getting credit for some of the skills in the second half of the consultation.
Uh-huh.
You're better off, within reason, you're better off cutting the history a bit short, and you need to leave enough time.
Yes.
Some of the scenarios aren't quite like that, are they? Discussing blood results and so on. But if it's a complete consultation scenario, you have to be fairly strict with yourself.
Yes.
And you can't suddenly learn to do that in the exam. So that is something that needs to be drilled in the real world. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.